We have been studying the book of Ephesians for the last several weeks. And last time we began to look at Ephesians chapter 4 in the passage verses 21 to 32 down to the end of the chapter 4. And we entitled that passage, Putting on the New Man. And that's where we're going to pick up in just a moment. But before we do, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you for the honor and privilege that we have at this time to open up thy very words. Father, we just pray that you'd bless our time of study. Bless the listener. Bless your word as it goes forth, and as you promised, it will not return void. Father, we commit this time into thy hand. We ask that you have your will in your way. And it's in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen. As I said last time, we were looking at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 21 to 32. And we began to say that you know that you're beginning to grow up into the new man in the Lord when you see the following dozen or so changes in your life. And so far, we've looked at your conversation will change. Amen. You won't give in to those old deceitful lusts. You'll start thinking about spiritual things. And now we want to pick up and see that as you begin to grow up in the new man in the Lord, you'll desire to live a righteous and holy life. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse number 24. We read this in the words of God, "And you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Amen. Now, we want to turn to Titus chapter 2 for a moment. Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, let's look together at verses 11 through 14 and see what the words of God have to say. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." We're seeing here then that here in Titus we're told that the grace of God brings salvation. And this grace has appeared to all men. Not only has it brought salvation, but it also teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. And not only that, but that we should live, this grace of God shows us that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Verse 13, "Looking for that blessed hope in glorious appearing of the great God in our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us." Why did he give himself for us? "That he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works." Amen. So we see then, as we grow in the new man in the Lord, we'll desire to live righteously and to live a righteous and holy life. Now notice also, in connection with this, we want to look at the book of 1 John chapter 3. So let's turn to 1 John chapter number 3. And when we get to 1 John chapter number 3, we want to look at verses 2 and 3 together. Notice what the words of God say. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Isn't that glorious? When we see him, when he shall appear, we're going to see the Lord someday. We're going to be like him, and we'll see him as he is. Amen? In his resurrected body. Verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So the hope of seeing the Lord, amen, purifies us, even as Christ is pure. Isn't that a blessing, amen? Now, as you begin to grow in the Lord, and the new man, as you grow up in the new man and the Lord, you'll also quit lying and start telling the truth. You'll quit lying and start telling the truth. Look at verse 25 of Ephesians chapter 4. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So we see as we grow up in the new man in the Lord, you're going to quit lying and start telling the truth. Amen? Let's look at, go to Titus chapter 2 for a moment. Titus chapter 2. And in Titus chapter 2, we want to look at verses 1 and 2. And notice what the words of God say in connection with what we're talking about. These are all, what I'm giving you here in the study is cross-references in the scriptures that have to do with the points that we're making. And we're looking at when you grow up in the new man in the Lord, you'll quit lying and start telling the truth. And notice what it says here in Titus chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. See? And you'll be able to do this when you grow up in the new man in the Lord. You'll speak those things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober. See? That the aged men be sober. Here's the effect of speaking the things which become sound doctrine, telling the truth. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. So we see the effect of speaking those things which become sound doctrine. See, the effect here on the aged men. So they'll be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and in patience. Amen. Also, we want to compare Titus chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, with Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, which says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things which is the head, even Christ. See? So, there's a way where to speak the truth. Not in meanness, not in arrogance, but in love. See, when you speak the truth in love, your purpose behind speaking the truth isn't trying to embarrass someone, show them up, or show them how much Bible knowledge you have. That's why you're to speak the truth in love. Because if you love others, see, if love is behind why you're speaking the truth, you're speaking it in such a way, it's because you love the individual you're speaking to. And be it sound doctrine, whatever you're speaking to them, you're giving them the truth. Why? Because you care about them. You love them. If they're unsaved, you have a burden for their soul. You don't want them to go to hell, do you? See? So you speak the truth in love. Because you have a burden for their soul if they're lost, or if they're already saved. Amen? And they've fallen into sin. You want to restore them in love, in meekness. See? So it's more than just telling the truth. It's how you present the truth in love. You're presenting the truth in love because you desire for it to have an effect on the individual that you're speaking to in a positive way. Amen? You want it to change them for the better. Either to be saved if they're lost, or if they're a Christian and they've fallen into sin, to restore them. Again, as we get back to our study here in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 21 to 32, we're looking at some changes that should happen to you and to I. As we grow up in the new man in the Lord, another thing that should happen is that your anger won't get the best of you. Your anger won't get the best of you. Look at verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. See? Now, there are times when you need to be angry. When there is a cause. Amen? But the rest of the time, you and I need to keep a lid on that anger, amen? Turn with me to Proverbs in connection with this. We want to go to Proverbs chapter 14. And once we get to Proverbs chapter 14, we want to look at verse 29. Notice what the words of God say. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. But he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. So someone who doesn't get angry quickly has great understanding, because he knows what'll happen if he does. And the comparison is made to the individual who gets angry quickly. He that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. See, he's going to get into trouble. There's going to be a severe consequence for him getting angry quickly instead of observing, thinking things out. So there are legitimate times when we should be angry for a cause. Amen. Jesus showed anger when he found them buying and selling in the temple. Amen. He got so angry that he turned over the tables of the money changers and chased them out of the temple. Amen. But most of the time, we need to learn to keep a lid on our anger. And as you continue to grow and grow up in the new man in the Lord, this is a change that's going to happen. Now, another thing that will change as you continue to grow in the new man in the Lord is you'll quit giving in to the devil. You'll quit giving in to the devil. at verse 27. It says, neither give place to the devil. Now, what I want you to notice is in verse 26, it says, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. So, verse 26 ended with a colon, so the sentence didn't stop there. And, you know, then we pick up again in verse 27, it says, neither give place to the devil. There's a period at the end there. So what I want you to see is there's a connection with anger. When you're angry, amen, that through that anger, the devil gets a foothold into your life. See? When you get angry. That's why it says, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Amen. In other words, don't let the day end unless you've resolved that anger. Because if you don't, it's going to give a place or a foothold to the devil in your life. But as you grow up in the new man in the Lord, you'll quit giving to the devil. You'll start to resist him. You'll start to resist the devil. Notice with me, I want us to turn in connection with this to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5, in verses 8 and 9. Notice what the words of God say. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I think many Christians don't take the devil serious enough. But the Bible, the words of God, are very clear that we are to be sober, be vigilant. Because the devil is our enemy, he's our adversary. Not only that, as a roaring lion, that's how he's described. As a roaring lion who is ravenous, hungry, looking for his prey to eat. That's how the devil walks about seeking whom he may devour. Don't let it be you. Verse 9 says, whom resist steadfast, notice, in the faith. You and I cannot resist the devil under our own power. No. Because, see, the devil is a supernatural enemy. And we only can resist him with supernatural weapons. So the only way that you and I can resist the devil is in the faith. Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He defeated the devil. The devil tried to tempt him. How did he do it? With the words of God. He said three times, as it is written. He took out the sword of the Spirit and he laid it right on him. And we're to do the same. Are we not? So it says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So what the words of God are telling us here, the devil hasn't just picked you out to go after. He goes after all those that are saved, that are blood-bought in the blood of Jesus Christ. So they're going through the same thing that you and I are. Amen? So we're to resist him. steadfast, continually. Don't give up, but resist them in the faith. Amen. You have prayer and the Word of God. You have the blood of Christ. Amen. Resist him. Now, also we want to look at, in connection with this, another verse of Scripture. I like us to look at James chapter 4, verse 7. The book of James chapter 4, in verse number 7. The words of God say this: submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. See, the word submit means what you're doing here when you submit yourselves, therefore, to God. You're putting yourself under the authority of Almighty God. You're giving him rule and reign in your life. You're allowing him to control you in your life. See? So you're under him. See? The thing we forget is the devil is a created being by God. So, he can't go after God. God can go after him. But you're under God. When you submit yourself to God's authority for your life, you're under God, and he can't get you. He'll flee. He's afraid of God. Amen. That's why we're told here to submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The reason a lot of Christians have trouble with the devil is, first of all, they don't resist him steadfast in the faith, and they don't submit to God. See? So you're going to lose. He's going to win the battle. He's going to stick around. Amen. See? So we see then, as we're looking at changes that should happen in our lives as we grow up in the new man in the Lord, you'll quit giving in to the devil. Another thing you'll do is you'll quit stealing and you'll start working and you'll give. You'll quit stealing. You'll start working and you'll give. Notice in verse 28 of Ephesians chapter 4, it says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Amen. So you're going to quit stealing, and you'll start working, and you'll give. Instead of being a taker, you'll be a giver. Amen? And one of the person's purposes for working is so you'll be able to give. Give to the work of the Lord. Give to the brethren that are truly needy. Let's look at some cross-references that deal with this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians with me, chapter 3. And what we want to do when we get to chapter 3 is, we want to look at verses 10 through 15. Notice what the words of God have to say. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. See, here is Paul, on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, addressing the church at Thessalonica. And he's saying, if any of you don't work, then they shouldn't eat. You got to work for your living. Verse 11, For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not in all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. See, he's addressing a problem there. There are some who are not working. And what happens when you're idle? You get into trouble. And they become busybodies. You know, busybody. Minding someone else's business instead of their own, and they should be working. Verse 12. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. See? Don't go looking for a handout if you're not working. You should be working unless for some reason, physically or mentally, you legitimately can't work. Brethren, in verse 13, but ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. So, this is how Paul says you deal with a person who refuses to work, who's able to work. Have nothing to do with them. See? Don't fellowship with them. Have no company with them. So, it'll make him ashamed. But remember, he's not your enemy. You're doing this as an admonition to a brother or sister in Christ. So, they'll get right. Amen? So, we're seeing here then, as we're looking at some things that should happen, changes that should happen in your life, amen, as you grow in the new man. We were told in the beginning of this passage, verses 21 to 32, and in Ephesians chapter 4, to put off the old man, to put off some things and put on some things. And these are the things that should change and we should put on. That you should quit stealing, you'll start working, and you'll give. This is just what the Macedonians did. Amen. We'll see this if you'll turn to me in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 in verses 1 through 5. Notice. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verses 1 through 5. We read this. Moreover, brethren, We do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy in their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. So here's Paul and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit here. We're told that despite the great affliction and the poverty that they had, the Macedonians, they still gave liberally. They had nothing, but they gave with what they had. Verse 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. So, what a blessing here. These people, out of their own poverty, gave to the Apostle Paul so he could minister to the saints, so he could go and teach and preach, amen? Verse 5, and as they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Completely unselfish. In this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. They put the things of God first. Amen. See? So again, these are some of the changes that should take place as we put on the new man, as we grow in the new man, and in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have a few more of these we want to look at, and we'll continue here in chapter 4. Until we meet again, may God richly bless you, is my prayer. And good day.